the neat things that we do every year for the 3 weeks preceding Christmas is that we give people an opportunity to give out of an overflow to help people who may be in a season of lack during Christmas. And it's been amazing the response that you guys have had. We never give out of manipulation or out of need, but we give because we're in a season where God's just been good to us and because we can. We give because we can. So I want to give you an opportunity, if you're interested this morning, to bring a dollar, $5, $20, $100, whatever you want to give. And all we're going to do is redistribute 100% of everything you give to people that come our way through our relationships with you, of single moms in need or people that are in need and lack during Christmas. And so we call it an overflow offering, a blessing offering. And so we're going to put this Christmas gift right here on top of this base. And if you want to send your child with your money, you can, or if you want to bring it up. But we're going to just come and receive this, and we're going to just be able to give it out to our community on behalf of our church. And we're going to do this at this time. So if you would like to give, you can. All right, guys, I'm so excited about sharing the text that God's given me for this house today. I likened it unto the wait anticipation as a kid for Christmas. 364 days after Christmas, kids are waiting, and they can't wait till Christmas morning. That's the way I feel with unwrapping this revelation God's given me for our house. But and you'll see how this is going to play out. I have a couple in our church that I call them this week because of their story and how it sort of overlapped what God's given me to teach today. And I asked them if they would come and just give a word of testimony, much like what William just did in the arena, that God is a God who heals. God is just moving in their life in a powerful way. And I met these guys about 6 years ago, Joel and Sonda Hansen, and they have had just a real breakthrough in some things they've been waiting for. So I asked them if they would come and sort of leading up to what I want to share this morning, tell you part of their faith story in this chapter. So guys, would you come right now, and would you give them a hand just as they come to share part of their story this morning?
Honda, for those of you who have not met me before. My husband and I do have some wonderful news to announce, and that is that we are going to be adopting a little girl from China.
Yes.
And her name is Sue Lin. She is named after her two grandmas, Grandma Sue and Grandma Linda, and her name in Chinese means beautiful flower. And we have been waiting with China for 7 years. But in reality, this has been a journey that's been over 20 years. So the question is, why adoption and why China? Over 20 years ago, when I was just a teenager, I had the opportunity to do a lot of traveling for missions trips. Those trips changed me in a very profound way, deeply in ways I can't fully articulate. I got to go to Tanzania, got to go to Kenya, got to go to India, Pakistan, throughout Europe. Got to go to Jordan and Israel and Egypt and Canada and Mexico on various trips. And part of what happened to me there was that a seed was planted that I wanted an international family. I wanted children in my home who I could love and embrace, who were not of the American culture. I also saw adoption. I saw it in my own family. I saw it in friends. My best friend growing up when I was 3, 4, and 5, he was from Korea, and he was adopted. And I just saw adoption and the international flavor, such a beautiful mix. And it was then, as a teenager, that I declared out loud and deep in my heart that I wanted to have kids who were non-American, non-Caucasian, from different countries. When I started dating Joel, this was one of the very first things I talked to him about. And it was a litmus test.
I passed.
said, I want to have children who are not American and not white. How do you feel about that? And what did you say?
Probably not much, because I don't usually say too much. Other than sure.
He said, okay, that sounds good. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, because for me, adoption started when I was an infant, simply because my older sister was adopted. She was born December 21st and was home for Christmas on December 25th. And so she was my older sister, and so that's all I knew was Kristen. Yeah, she might have been adopted, but she was my sister. There was nothing playing, no confusion, no discussion. She was my sister. And to make things more complicated, my younger brother, who was blood-related, biological brother, he didn't look like me, but my older sister did. So go figure. Not the case anymore, but for adoption, it was a no-brainer. It was an absolute yes. And to do something internationally didn't bother me either. I hadn't traveled nearly as much as she had. But in terms of moving specifically towards China, when my grandfather died, he left our family some inheritance money. And the first thing my dad did was write the tithe check to China, to a missions organization in China. And I was 9 at the time, so I was still pretty young and didn't really understand, well, why China? But that was just his heart for it. And then in 1998, my parents spent a year in China, in Guangzhou, teaching English at a school there. And they just came home in love with, even more in love with China than they already were. And my mom just raving on and on about these beautiful children they just taught and how she would just love a Chinese grandbaby. So.
And just so you know, this was not a hint, okay? She lined up her 3 children, Joel, Seth, and Kristen, and said, looked them each in the eye, I want at least one of you to adopt from China. It was pretty clear.
It was.
And all 3 said, okay, we will.
Well, we're not dumb. Stay on mom's good side. But in the process then of more to, again, why China, we began... after we were married, we started the process of scoping out where to adopt from. And at the time, 96 was when we were married. 2006, where we started looking, we found and discovered China was actually the cheapest and most regulated of any of the international adoption scenes. Korea was another one. Russia was another one. But thanks to big government, I don't ever say thanks to big government, but in this case, thanks to big government, they had enough regulation and oversight that they made the cost pretty clear, and we said, okay, let's do it. And so by the time that got going, 2006, we started the paperwork. By March of 2007, we had submitted everything to China, and we had our letter back saying, congratulations, you have been accepted to adopt a child from China.
At that time, we were told that we would have a child in arms by Christmas of 07. They said 18 months, and that time came and went, and we realized that was no longer a valid timeline. And there were a lot of reasons why the timeline in China elongated. As we've said, we've waited 7 years now. There's a lot of reasons for that, and if you want to talk to me about it, I can tell you about it, but it doesn't really matter. And the fact of the matter is that we have been waiting. At any time, we could have gotten off the list and just said, okay, we're done with China. But in our mind, there was no reason to do that. And we told the Lord, we'll stop this process at any point you want us to. And he never spoke to us, so we said, okay, we're going to keep waiting. And so when we accepted the match this Monday, it was with profound joy and gratitude.
I just wanted to share this in terms of, you know, sometimes there might be questions as to, this specifically in terms of, sometimes you get into a place in your life necessarily where you don't feel like your prayers are enough. You just doubt yourself. It's not that you're doubting God. You're doubting that your prayers are actually effective enough. You know, James says the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, sometimes you don't think you're being effective. But there's so much strength in the prayers of others and being attached and connected to somebody else who can speak up and pray for you when you just don't think it's quite right. And my mom is in the process of clearing house. She's been collecting way too much stuff for the last 70 years, so she's starting to clean house. And one of the things she's distributed to each one of us, me and my siblings, each got a prayer journal of hers this last year. And this is from April of this year. Just the way, a way for an encouragement towards us. I thank you for your word that lights my path. I thank you for the things you are going to do. I thank you for salvation for all of our grandchildren. Thank you that Micah is already serving you. I thank you that our children and their spouses love you. I thank you that you are going to use them to bless others. I thank you for Sulin. I thank you for a healthy pregnancy for her birth mother. And I pray that the mother will love her enough to release her. Prayer is effective around the world. And so we are getting a healthy little girl. And we are just thrilled about it. And we know that when you have people like this praying for us, there are going to be bumps in the road and struggles. You know, she's going to be about 3 by the time we actually pick her up next summer, and won't know a lick of English. And ni hao, hello, is all I know in Chinese so far. So there are going to be some hurdles to cross, but prayer is a wonderful thing, and we have a lot to look forward to.
We are very blessed, and Joel and I, as you can tell, our heart is for adoption. Genetics are way cool. For those of you who know me, I'm a science geek, and I love science. I love talking about genes and epigenetics and all kinds of fun things. But the power of adoption is so beautiful because God loves adoption, and he has made it so that everyone in the kingdom has to experience the power of adoption, and I absolutely love that. Jesus himself got to experience the power of adoption because his father on earth adopted him. Jesus' genealogy does not come through Mary. It comes through Joseph. Joseph was Jesus' father on earth. And Joseph honored that and was so proud to be the father of this young boy who he knew the birth father was the Spirit of God himself. And that is so neat to go through the genealogy of Jesus and see the bloodline of David is traced through Joseph. What a thing of honor. You know, Sue Lynn will always be part of the Hansen family. And she has a rich bloodline. Her bloodline is connected to us now. It will always be that way. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Joel and Sonda. Joel and Sonda have a table set up in the back and would love it if you had time or were interested in talking to them personally or getting more information about adoption or even having them pray with you if that's at all on your radar. And I pray that you will avail yourselves to them. They would love to have a chance to talk with you. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to be reading out of the New Living Translation. For those of you that are unfamiliar with this text, it's a modern translation. And we're going to put these on the screen for you this morning if you did not come prepared to read this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And this is what God's word says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. And even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God. We praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on those of us who belong to his dear son. If you're looking in scripture, if you can jump down to verse 11, and it also says, furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work according to his plan. Let me pray this morning over the word. Father, this morning I ask you to open up our eyes that we can see, but most of all our ears that we can hear your voice, and allow this word to not just become written on a page or on our phone, but I pray that it'll be written on our hearts. I invite the Holy Spirit to bring revelation today as we just unwrap this gift that was recorded for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have, this text has resurrected my spiritual life in the last month. It has breathed on me. It has captured my heart. It has rewiring my emotions, and it is so rich. And this morning, I want to, almost like a present, I want to just unwrap it a little bit at a time, and maybe God will allow this to become something that you marinate on for the next week or two. This verse opens with this: praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see down in verse 6, after it unwraps this beautiful revelation of what God's done, the writer says, and praise God again, for he has given us glorious grace from heaven that has been poured out upon us. And he opens with, praise God for who he is. And then he goes through what he's done, and then he's almost reflecting back, and he goes, all my heart can do is to praise God again. And here's the thing that God's doing in me with this verse is, I have a tendency, maybe like you, to be very self-centered, selfish, thoughtful of myself, talking about myself. Matter of fact, I'm tired of talking about my back, struggling with some back issues. I'm so tired of hearing my voice. And so one of the things I've come to pray is, God, I need you to resurrect my life in you. And one of the things that God's doing is, he's asking me to turn the funnel upside down. The funnel in my life in the last month has been at the top of the funnel, very big as Andy, and at the bottom of the funnel, very small as God. And what this verse does, it allows us to recapture our awe over him, and it turns the funnel upside down, and now for me, God is becoming very big again. And it is bringing a proper perspective that I am, and it's not that I'm insignificant or unimportant, but that I'm very small again. And so let me unwrap this a little bit at a time and see if you can maybe get bigger over who God is as we look at this. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Capture this. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. He says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because of Christ, because of us being united with him. He has. Why is that important? Because you and I, maybe not everybody in this room, but primarily many of us, we live in a performance-based economy. And what that means is, when we perform well, then we are worthy of reward, we are worthy of acknowledgement, we are worthy of affirmation, we're worthy of advancement in our finances, our life, even in the way we're raised in church, the way we're raised in school. If you do really good, then you can receive, fill in the blank. And what it paints this picture is, praise be to God because he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. I know you're not getting this like I am, so I'm going to ask somebody to say amen. Could somebody over here say yes? Dwayne, could you say yes? Okay, so I'm gonna let you begin to feedback with me when I share this. Now watch this. You have already received every spiritual blessing, not based on how well you're going to do in your Christianity, but based on who He is. And the fact He has already given you spiritual blessings. We have already been glorified in heaven, and we have already received all of the things of heaven. The gold, the streets of gold, the garments of glory, the knowledge of God, we have already received our heavenly inheritance there. But I also want to tell you, we've already been blessed with a spiritual blessing and inheritance from heaven right now. He has already given it to us. We have received it as an inheritance, not based on what we've done, but based on who He is and how He views us. The Bible says He has. Praise God, because He has blessed us. Not is blessing us, not is going to bless us, but has already blessed us. It's mine. The problem we have is we don't walk in that. I don't have a tendency to walk in that confidence, because my confidence in what I have in God rises and falls on how well I'm doing. And this scripture is transforming me, because it's talking to me about who He is, not about who I am. He is a mighty, awesome God. He has already prepared inheritance for me. And it says the reason we have already received it. Why? Because we are united with Christ. It's all about relationship. It's about who you know. Don't you believe that you get ahead in this world sometimes based on who you know? Watch this. We get ahead in the world to come, and we get ahead in the world that's coming, invading our world, because who we know, and we know who the Father is because what Christ has done for us. It's 100% based on what He's done for us. I cannot bring it. I can't expedite it. I can't make it more abundant. I have an abundance of heavenly reward, heavenly realm, heavenly blessings, because I am united with Christ. We're going to get into the dynamics of that in a minute. And I think at the end you're going to go, man, God is good to me. He goes on to say this, and even before He created the world, made the world, He loved us. Could we just stop there and stay there for about a month? Unwrap this. Before I was ever conceived, and the love between my father and my mother, before they were ever created, God knew who I was going to be, and He loved me before I was ever even a union between my mom and dad. He knew my beginning. He knew my life. He knew the end of my life. Before my life, but not before my life, before He even said in Genesis 1, in the beginning God created, even before He created this universe, He knew who I was going to be. And the Bible says, before He made the world, He loved me. My Lord, that changes everything. I am loved by God. Would you look at your neighbor right now and say, God loves me? See, we say things like that. We sing little songs like kids like that. But we don't really have ownership of that. We don't really walk into that. If we walked into that, who our Father is and what He's done for us, and the fact I'm His, I am His. He not only chose me, He created me. Go back and read Psalm 139, where it talks about how we are fit and wonderfully made in His image. He knit me while I was in my mother's womb. Why? Because I needed to be born? No, because He was creating me to find out about who He is. For God is love. I literally was created. I literally was born so I could come into a cognitive awareness of who He is. But most of all, the fact He loves me. Because it is who He is. And let me explain to you, in my Christianity, even as a pastor, I feel like God loves me more when I preach better. Now, you're laughing. Last week we had an amazing service here. We had the Spirit of God was so heavy. I was so disconnected the entirety of the service. I felt like somebody else was speaking through me. My words weren't connected to myself, to you. When I got in my car, I wept and I went, God, next week I promise you I'll do better. Because there is a part of me that feels more lovable when I do well. And if I could ever rewire my brain and my emotions with what this word says, it says, before He made the world, He loved me. That settles all of it. That settles all of it. And watch this, and it says, and He chose me. He chose me to be holy and without fault in His eyes because of Jesus. I want to unwrap that for a minute, because the truth is, whenever I struggle with a sin or an addiction or a setback or the thing that I fail to do and I'm convicted about it, there's a part of me that feels like I just want to run away from God and hide. Because I feel dirty, I feel shame, I feel guilt. And there is a right place for conviction so that we can come to a place of confession and repentance and restoration of fellowship. But we need to walk in the reality that those things do not change who He is and how He relates to me. I am chosen. I do not believe I can even derail that relationship. Does it impact my fellowship? Yeah, sure it does. It impacts that part of my relationship, how I feel, and it needs to be restored. But it says, before He created the world, He chose me to be holy and without fault in His eyes because of Jesus. There's nothing like the feeling that we all have a desire to be chosen. Young girls, teenagers, if you could just hear your pastor today. There's a part of you that God created inside of you that wants to be chosen by man. You long for that affirmation. And your dad, you can have a great dad that loves you and that affirms you, but there's this longing to be loved intimately, and that is God-given. I believe that because all of us were created with this desire to be chosen. Wasn't the worst feeling in the world when you're in elementary school, when they pick teams for kickball and you're the last person standing against chain link fence? You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that your greatest fear? We're going to divide sides. And I always want to be the captain because then I could avoid being the last one chosen. But I think all of us have this fear of not being chosen. A few years ago, and I remember the NFL draft. Every year they have an NFL draft of all the greatest college players. And they always invite the top 6-8 candidates that they know are going to be taken in the first round. And they put them in a green room. And they put the cameras on him. There was a quarterback who forfeited he did not go as a junior. He went as a senior. His name was Matt Leinart. He played for USC, great quarterback in college. And he would have gone number one pick after his junior year. And they invited him back after his senior year into the green room because they knew that he was going to walk across that stage. And as the draft wore on and one person after another person was drafted, the cameras kept going to him and looking at him. And you could just see his countenance drop as he was going from a number one to a number three, to a number seven, all the way out of the top 10, and to the point he finally just got up and left. Sometimes that's the way we feel because we're beat up by this world, we're beat up by the devil, we're beat up by our own emotions, and we just feel like nobody in their right mind should have choose me because I'm damaged goods. And this scripture rewires us, and it says, before He created the world, He loved us and He chose us to be holy and without fault in His eyes because of Christ. And the truth is, the beautiful part of that is, if you could only capture this, Jesus came from heaven to earth. Yes, He lived a sinless life. Yes, He died on a cross. He's a resurrected Savior. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. But now He is my advocate. He is the one who stands between my Father in heaven and me. And the beautiful part is, I just get to come hide behind Him. So that the Father, when He looks at me, He doesn't look just at me. He looks at me through the perfect righteousness of the Son, the perfect blood of the Son, the perfect beauty of the Son. So when God sees me, He doesn't just see me marred by sin. He sees me through the righteousness of Christ, and I am perfect in His sight. And before He created the world, this was His plan. Before He did anything to testify of His greatness in the creation of the universe, He had this plan that He would choose me. Man, that just transforms everything. It says that He chose me. And listen to this next part. It says, for this is what He wanted to do. And it gave Him great pleasure. Can you unwrap this just for one second? It wasn't because He needed to, was supposed to, He should have. He did these things because it's what He wanted to do. Isn't that great? So God, look at this in the verse. It says, so God in advance, He chose to adopt us into His very own family, bringing us unto Himself through Jesus Christ. Can we unwrap this for just one second? Why I wanted to bring Sonda and Joel up here? Because from the moment I met them that first couple of months, they were talking about adopting a child. They have been talking about adopting a child ever since I've known them for 6 years. And when she posted, "We've got our child. It's coming. It's finally here." Their pleasure about this child that they do not even know yet testified to me, this is what it feels like for God in heaven. He pleasures over the adoption that we experience. That, can you just imagine, could you go just 1 second, what it's going to be like when they lay eyes on her for the first time in person? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's going to be crazy love. Not her love to them, because she is unaware of their love for her. She can't even recognize it, understand it. It can't even calculate. She can't even process it. But that's the way it is with us. Oftentimes, we can't even comprehend the love that He has for us. We're unaware of His inheritance. They're going to have an inheritance for this girl that she does not even know of right now. She's going to be walking to a love she can't comprehend. And that's the way it is with us. He chose, how about this? He planned in advance, and He chose to adopt us, to bring us to Himself. Can I take just 1 second and tell you this is who Jesus is, and this is why it's such a big deal for us about Jesus. We're living in a culture where the church is embarrassed. Some, let me back up. There is this growing distance from Jesus. I'm sorry, is there a noise being made right here that a child? Okay. In a few minutes, would it be possible to, is it, can you quiet her? Or, I'm sorry. It's just, I'm like, I didn't mean to embarrass you. I'm sorry. Thank you. I was saying something that was really good. Let me think. Adopting. Here's the thing. It says, and he adopted us, bringing us to Himself. And the reason we make such a big thing and we're unapologetic about the name of Jesus is because we could not have been brought to Him without Jesus. We were standing on the outside looking in. There's this Old Testament story because of in the book of Esther, of this picture, a little bit of this picture, this thing that's coming of King Artaxerxes, and he chose a wife who wasn't of royalty, and he brought her into His kingdom to marry her as a wife. But there was this relationship with the king that you did not knock on the king's door and come in unannounced. The wife or the servants at that time, the only way they could come to the king was if the king requested them. And there was this moment in the history of Esther when her people, the Jewish people, were on the verge of extermination because of the plans of Mordecai. And she was caught between two things. Do I stand in the gap for my race, or do I fear losing my life going in before the king? And we know that she comes in because of the need, and she brings her request to the king humbly. And we have this Old Testament picture of that's how God is. And now we have this New Testament picture that we were on the outside of the castle. We were an enemy of God, exiled because of our sin, separated because of our sin nature, and we could not get to Him. So watch this. Because it was His pleasure, He adopted us, but not only did He adopt us through Christ, He came and He got us, and He brought us into Himself. And Hebrews says it this way, and I want to announce to you the new paradigm. We can now boldly enter in any time we want into the throne room of grace. Why? Because He has brought us unto Himself. He has adopted us. We're no longer standing on the outside. We're standing on the inside. Could somebody say amen? It's this beautiful, beautiful picture of what He's done for us. He's adopted you. You may feel broken. You may feel like you've messed up your relational life. You may be in here today and you've been divorced twice. And sometimes when you're around other couples, you feel like a second-class citizen because there's a part of your life that is broken. There may have been things that you've done or things that have been done to you, and other people seem to walk in this outward confidence, and you I pray today that if there's any way possible for you to let this scripture get inside of you, it will transform how you view yourself when you can see how he views you. He said, before the world created, I loved you. Before the world was created, I chose you. Before the world was created, I had a plan to adopt you for this one purpose, to bring you to myself. Now, this does not testify of our worth. It testifies of his greatness. See, that's where we get wrong. That's where we get a little wrong, because in our culture right now, we're writing a lot of worship songs we sing that's all about us. This story that I'm telling you about today, it ain't just so that we can now have good self-esteem and we can have self-worth and we can walk into church with our head held high. That is not the real reason why he did these things. He did these things that it would bring glory to him, and all of a sudden we could understand that, and now we could receive that love, but it wouldn't even be about the gift we received. It would be about this awe over the one who gave the gift. We would put down, even when you can have the faith to receive these things I'm talking about, and go, oh my gosh, look at what he's done for me. Man, this makes me feel better about myself. I'm going to allow this to become healing for my heart, and I'm going to allow it to rewire my brain, and I'm going to grow and mature in this so I can walk in this world understanding my inheritance, and I'm going to be a king's child. The real step of what he's wanting us to do is to come to the point where we not only own that and have revelation of that, but then we lay it aside and go, you know, the truth is, it's not about me. Let me go get to the one who did these things for me. Let me rediscover a prayer that's not about me whining about everything that's going on in my life. But how about if I rediscover a prayer that's worship and adoration and a response, and where I just love on Jesus and I love on who he is, and I testify to him in my prayer time about his greatness. I'm captured. I'm captured not for him to rescue me, but he's captured and ravished my heart. And the result of that is praise. He opens with this text, "All praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has done all of these things." And then at the end, he goes in verse 6. If you look at verse 6, and I love this part in verse 6. He says, "So we praise God again, for he has poured out an abundance of grace on us." So our response again is praise. And the last thing I want to share with you, and I'm going to close with this, is in verse 11. This part I'm going to unwrap next week if the Lord allows me. "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, and because we have received an inheritance from God, he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work according to his plan." Because he chose us in advance, because we're united with Christ, because we've received this inheritance, he says, when you begin to walk in the fullness, if my musician can come, but if you begin to walk in this fullness of this, I know I said it a few minutes ago, but I'm going to say it again. It's not just establishing our worth and our sense of dignity in Christ and the sense of royalty. All of those things happen when we digest this. But he says what happens is you begin to walk in this new confidence that he is at work in all the plans of my life. That he loved me before the beginning of the world, that he loves me now, and he's going to love me in the kingdom of heaven to come, and heaven and all of eternity. And the fact that he is at work intimately with the plans that are going on in my life, and all of these things that are happening in my life are happening, here it is, according to his plan. And I need to know that. Your pastor, I have such, there are big areas in my life that are so defined by big faith in God. But I struggle with the details of my life, and I'm tossed up and down and left and right emotionally when the small, minutest details of my life are not working out according to my plans. I live many times frustrated by life. I live frustrated by me and the fact that I am not processing these things very well. And I continually live disappointed or disillusioned or confused. And there should be for us a peace that comes from knowing who he is and who I am and that he's at work in this, that I would be able to say with confidence, I know that all these things are going to work out to his good for His good. All of these things are at work in my life. And this is the word for somebody today. You walked in here and your life's turned upside down. And you may even feel like it's in the garbage pile. And this is what your pastor's come to say to you today. God's at work in your life, sir. I promise you. You go, well, this is my problem, Pastor. I can't reconcile a loving God with the fact that He is allowed or purposing this in my life. And all I got to tell you is wait till the story's through. Wait till the story's over. Because the last chapter has not been written. And you really can't see right now. You can see anger or frustration, or you can see hatred for someone. Rage for some system that's hurt you, some church, this, some pastor, some leader, and you can be in a point where you are wrestling in the mire of disappointment. God, if you love me, then it seems like your kid would walk in the best of this world. I would be highly favored, and highly favored to me looks like, Lord, an absence of issues, an absence of problems, an absence of pain. And I want to tell you, I'm going to unwrap it next week. God is at work according to His plan for your life. And there's rest for me when I feel that. There's rest for me when I know that. And I pray this week that maybe you would open up your Bible and maybe He'd take you to this text and you'd unwrap this text and let it become yours. Because when the lights go out, you don't need revelation somebody else had. You need your revelation of who He is in your life. So I want to ask you one question. Have you ever been brought to God through His Son, Jesus Christ? Have you ever had Christ grab you by the hand and bring you to a holy God? Have you ever been adopted into the kingdom? I just want to make sure you're clear. You're not adopted into the kingdom because you were born into a Christian family. Your mom and dad, when you were 8 days old, may have taken you to the priest or to a pastor and said, I want to dedicate this child to the Lord. I just want to let you know, as far as me discerning Scripture, that's not what brings adoption. The thing that brings adoption is you believing that Jesus is the Son of God, who came to this earth and died in your place. And that the work He did for you on the cross, you receive that work. You receive that substitutionary work. He took your sin nature, into Himself to that cross. And He died for you. I believe the way that you're going to inherit eternal life is that you believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And He died for your sin, because you do really have a disease in your life called sin. And you're going to die. I believe that you're going to die, and it's going to be eternal death, separated from God. But that's not the end of the story. There's an opportunity for you to be adopted. And all you got to do, you are standing against the chain link fence. Nobody's chosen you. Nobody believes in you. You know yourself you're not worthy to be loved by a loving God because of the things you've done. And you're just standing there with no hope. And all I can tell you is Jesus came to you, no matter who you are and what you've done. And He grabbed you by the hand and He said, I want to take you to my Father. When He comes into the presence of the Father will say, how and why can you bring them? And He will say, because this is what I've done for them. Father, fill these scars in my hands. Fill my side. I died for them to be forgiven and for them to be my brother, for them to be my sisters. And Romans says this, because of who Jesus is and what He's done, I have become a brother, a co-heir with Christ. His inheritance is my inheritance. I can't wrap my mind around it, but I believe it. He has bless me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm because I am united with Christ. Get out of here. What He owns, I own. His authority, I have His authority. His name is my name. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. But I want to make it crystal clear. If you have never received that, you need to receive that gift. You need to stand up and say, I believe He is who He said He is, and I believe He did what He said He did, and I believe that He died for me. For me. Because you're not saved because you're born in a Christian family. You're not saved because you go to a Christian church. And it's not saved because all your friends are believers. You need to be adopted. And the way you're adopted is simply by believing and receiving His hand as He escorts you to the Father. That's the beautiful gift of Christmas. That's the gift worthy of being unwrapped. Look at what He's done for us. How can we not sit at the foot of the tree and marvel over the gifts He's given us? Let me pray. Father, I pray for people in this room, any person who has never received salvation through Christ, any person that's never become holy, in your sight, without fault in your eyes because of Christ, I pray today would be the day. Today would be the day that they would receive by faith the work of Christ. A new person today, a new creature that can't comprehend it. A new inheritance today. I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to them today and they'd have the ability to simply even respond in the faith that You've even given them. You've given them faith to believe. Holy Spirit, I just invite You to convince. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. With every head, every eye open, every head lifted up, I want to ask if there's anybody here that needs to receive this gift of Christ, this gift of what He's done for you. I do not understand it, but all you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is respond to that thought that God has given you, that there's hope for you. All you have to do is just raise your hand. All you have to do is just receive. I don't even understand it. But the moment you do, you're adopted into His family. The moment you do, you receive an eternal inheritance. Get out of here. It's crazy. It's outrageous. It's not fair. It's a scandal. That's why I said, oh, praise to God for what the grace that He's poured out on us. Get out of here. Don't make sense. But if you're here today and you want to receive this Christ, you want to receive this salvation, this gift of eternal life, I want to pray for you. So if you're in this place and you'd like for me to pray for you, would you just raise your hand where you're at? And I want to pray right here. If I could see anybody else's hand, just like, Pastor, I want you to pray with me today. Another hand. Yes, sir. Anybody else that I can just pray with you? Father, I just want to receive this gift today. This gift of being made right with God. By the way, this is why we love to celebrate who Jesus is. I'm unapologetic. I'm not embarrassed by Him. Anybody else before I pray? Well, let me pray. Would you guys pray with this with me? And those of you that would like to, would you pray? I receive the work of Jesus and the gift of eternal life. And I receive it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to have a chance to talk with you guys if you give me a chance right afterwards. And anyone else that maybe you didn't raise your hand because you're too embarrassed publicly, I'd love to talk with you and maybe confirm those things that God's doing in your life before you leave. If you have a chance this week, could you marinate on this text? Because I want to unwrap it further next week if the Lord allows me. Can't promise that, but right now there's some things I'd really like to show you.